I'm thrilled again to be here with you. It's good to see you again. It's my third time here now, as Pastor was saying. Let's go to our Bibles and read in Matthew 28, verse 16 to the end of the chapter. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to keep all that I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Let's pray. Lord, we are here to hear your voice. We are here to open with open hearts, Lord, to pay attention to what you need to say, Lord. Use this servant for your glory, and that I might communicate your word, Lord, as accurate as possible, Lord, and that we might glorify your name through Jesus Christ. Please, Father, be with us in guiding us, Lord, to all righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I cannot remember how many times I heard this text, and most of the time, halfway interpret. I mean, not necessarily well done, explain. And I'm not claiming here that I have the ultimate interpretation. I'm just repeating some things that are has been said in the past. Part of our job as preachers is to repeat what has been said. But there are many things that has been forgotten in our days. And one of those things is this role of what the church has to do with missions. And we relegate certain things to certain organizations. And we're going to see, I hope you might see with me, that the Lord has given us clear directions, a clear path for us to follow. So, this is a subject that is close to home for me. My father was a pastor, but also was a missionary. We have this romantic idea of a missionary going to a remote country, right? And then coming back to their home country, and everybody receive him as a hero. Well, most of the time that doesn't happen, right? And there are some rare occasions, even in American history. Have you ever heard about Adoniram Judson? He was a missionary in Burma, Myanmar. And when he came back to the U.S., the people received him like a hero, a national hero. And he was surprised. What is all these people doing here? I'm just a regular person. But we have this romanticized idea of a missionary. You need to be a missionary, go somewhere else. Go far away, far from home. Well, this is not exactly what we should understand about missions. This also is a well-known text used in many missionary organizations as a motto, right? Go, preach the gospel, make disciples and baptizing them. We lose the emphasis in the text sometimes too. So I give you a little bit of it as an introduction of what we are going to see. And I divided this sermon for this morning in 5 points, hopefully be brief. I don't want to bother you too much with so much information or, on the contrary, being a little bit like on the boring side of giving you. We need Jesus Christ in everything we do, right? So I want you, if when you leave this morning, this afternoon, to take home one thing. If all of these 5 points just went away, I was wandering away, I don't know, I didn't pick what exactly this preacher with a weird accent is saying, at least I want you to take what we are going to learn about Jesus Christ. My first point is the authority of Jesus Christ. The second point is make disciples. Third point, the biblical pattern. Fourth point, all nations. And fifth point, I am with you. So we read in verse 18, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. This is crucial. This is crucial. And we need to think about, this is the end of Jesus Christ's ministry. He already was crucified, resurrected, and he is with his disciples, and he comes to this. All authority has been given to me. Think about what it means. And sometimes we read in our devotional reading, we read and we just fly through. We don't stay there for a moment. Jesus Christ had the authority given by who? God the Father. God the Father. So we are saying many things there. We are not going to unpack every possible thing that we can say about that. But we are saying a lot, or Jesus Christ himself is saying a lot in that statement. Second thing, and we are going to come back momentarily at that point. But he says, all authority is given in heaven and on earth. Why he mentioned these two things? Why in heaven? Why on earth? In heaven is his home, right? With his Father. He is ruler and king there, alongside with the Father. He needs to demonstrate something in there. He needs to do something to say, yes, I am the God of the universe. No, he is already recognized as the God of the universe. And what happened on earth? In heaven, no problem. What happened on earth? Sin, fallen people that don't recognize Jesus Christ as king. Long story short, he came and redeemed people. He came to demonstrate a perfect life. So in heaven, King Jesus on earth, he demonstrated being the perfect servant. He didn't claim, Jesus is not a God that came and said, I am God, therefore, bow down and worship me. What Jesus did? Jesus said, Jesus came and demonstrated with his life, with his words, with his miracles, that he was a perfect servant. He came with a mission. He came with a purpose. And I would say the ultimate purpose of redeeming the human race. So this authority is an authority not granted to him in a gratuitous way, but or in a free way, but he earned it, so to speak. He is deserving this authority. He owned this authority. Heaven on earth. Now, I want you to go, if you have in your Bibles, open your Bibles to John 3:17. And we are not going to read it, but we know that one of the most well-known texts in the entire scriptures. What is John 3:16, right? And you know by memory. You know by memory the next verse? You know it? Who sent Jesus Christ? God the Father. In Greek, that word sent is the word apostolein. There comes the word apostolo, that our English word for apostle comes from. Apostle means sent or sent out. This is very important because Jesus Christ was the apostle from the Father. And you might think, that is interesting. I thought apostles might be like those self-proclaimed apostles that I can take a title. I can just take the name of apostle or the title of apostle, maybe. Not really in the sense of the office, but as being sent, yes, anybody could be an apostle. A father sent to his girl, the son. I don't have sons, so I send my girl. She is my apostle in the Greek language, but not in the office. You know, we have 12 apostles, the 12 disciples, and there are no more. But what I'm bringing this, because we need to understand that Jesus Christ is sent by the Father. He is the apostle. You know that in the Bible, you are not going to find the word missionary, right? It's a, sorry to bring you this, but it's a made-up word. Missionary is a made-up word. It's a word that came out in the Middle Ages or medieval times to describe a people that it would send with a mission, then come missionary. It's basically a Latin word, missionarius. But it comes from the word in Greek, apostle. All this to say that Jesus Christ is the apostle of the Father. Okay, don't mix the terms. This is what the text basically is saying. I don't want you to get confused on the 12 apostles and can I be an apostle today? No, please don't bring that today. We are talking about Jesus Christ and being sent by the Father. So now we have, in the next verse, 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to keep all the command that I commanded you, and behold, I'm with you. I'm going to stop there. Make disciples. Most of this text is used as, hey, let's go and do missions. Let's go. They need to hear the gospel. We need to hear the gospel. But this is not the intention of the text. We see in the scriptures that God, that Jesus Christ is saying, all authority is given to me. Therefore, what is this? Intention that we all put our eyes in the word go. And so we think, oh, go. I'm going to go to Africa. I'm going to go to Papua. I'm going to go to South America. The intention of the text or the stress of the text is not in go, but in making disciples. Because making disciples is to the disciple you baptized, to the disciple you teach. Right? We can go anywhere, really, to any place, and say, oh, I'm a missionary. I'm just being, I just go to some place and be a missionary. Sorry to tell you that is not exactly what the Bible is telling us here. Is making disciples. I'm asking you, so a pastor, can I be a missionary though? Then? It is a missionary or no? Is a pastor making disciples? Yes. A pastor needs to be sent by somebody, right? Someone. Some church. And we are going to see that. So the Great Commission, which is this famous text, implicitly is telling us that we need to go and present the gospel. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. That is implicit in the go. How is the people going to be converted? How is the people going to get regenerated? How is the people repent from their sins if they don't hear the gospel? Right? Can you believe in the Lord Jesus without hearing the gospel? The Bible says that there is no other way. So it is implicit. So it's in other words, it's not said in the text, but it's drawn from the text as well in an implicit way. What it is explicit is the making disciples. So the Great Commission, more than go. Okay, I'm go. It's like a person that, I'm going. I'm going where? I'm doing what? You are going to a specific place to make disciples. Hope that is clear for you this morning. So, a missionary then become, once is learned, one is baptized, become another, could be a potential missionary, a potential sent one, right? I want to quote this Dr. Jeff Johnson on this part in his book, The Church. He put in these words, as the objective of a church. The objective of the church does not merely consist of evangelism. The church mission is to make disciples. This includes evangelizing unbelievers, but it also consists in teaching the whole counsel of God's word to unbelievers. Amen. Spreading the gospel to the word is to the world is vital part of fulfilling the Great Commission, but so is preaching in the pulpit each Sunday to believers. So you see, now hopefully you see that missionaries, church, Kenova, we are doing the same work. We are doing the same. Now, to my next point, the biblical pattern. Do we have a biblical pattern? Do we have clear instructions? Well, let's read on. Let's go to our Bibles in Acts 13, verse 1 to 3. I'm not going to read Acts 13, verse 1 to 3. Now there were at Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So we see several things here in this text, but what I want you to see is, in the previous text we read earlier, we established or we found out that God the Father sent Jesus Christ to the world with a mission, right? Are you with me? Amen. Jesus Christ sent by the Father. Then, Jesus Christ, in the moment of the Great Commission, Jesus Christ is sending some people, right? To all the nations. He's sending who? Jesus Christ is sending the disciples, the apostles. The disciples establish churches, right? Being the main one in Jerusalem. But there are other churches, as we read in this text, Antioch. And we are going to see something very interesting here. The church of Antioch is the one that sent Barnabas and Saul. Saul, later known as Paul. So, this is the pattern. God sent Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ sent the apostles. The apostles establishing the church. Remember, we are an apostolic church. Our church is based on the teaching of the apostles, right? Because we follow what they are teaching. We follow what they wrote in the New Testament. We are an apostolic church. So, and then, who sends missionaries today? It's the local church that sends missionaries today. as Antioch did in Acts 13. They went to Jerusalem to send Paul and Barnabas. Oh, we need to ask permission. Let's go to Jerusalem, send them a letter. We need to send them as missionaries. No, Antioch was a local church, self-governing church. And they decide by the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, to send Paul and Barnabas. I don't know how many of you have been in contact with Catholic Church. Maybe it's a little bit far away. We don't know exactly what they teach. Some of us may have close contact with Catholic Church. Well, we know at least one thing. We know that the Catholic Church is a monolithic entity. They believe that there is just one church, the Roman Catholic Church. So anything that you want to do, you need to do it through the Vatican. And this is something that in early church history developed, like in a year 300, more or less. I'm not going to go deep into that. But suffice to say that churches started deviating a little bit of what is clear in the scriptures. We have several churches, one in Jerusalem, one in Antioch, Ephesus, and then we have the seven letters to the churches, right, in Revelations, all there with their elders. If this monolithic one single church would be responsible for all the rest of the churches, would not be more rational or more reasonable to send just one letter? Instead, God talked and sent seven letters or seven messages to the seven churches directly and talk to them as they were local and different from each other. This is important. Remember, again, the pattern. God the Father sent Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ sent the apostles. The apostles establishing the churches. The churches sending missionaries. So there is a big question then. How about the missionary organizations then? Are they biblical? I'm glad you asked. We cannot say they are not. But bear with me on this. The church in time has passed through difficult times and difficult not just because of society, you know, times of persecution, times on when the church deviated from the scriptures. We're still having debates and fighting for the sufficiency of the scriptures. Is the scripture sufficient? And we're still fighting for that. We're still not resolved that. It's not that it's not true. It's not that we don't know. The fact is that we are here in this world fighting spiritual entities that are enemies of God. And God warned us, right? Jesus warned us about the evil one is going to introduce. Where is the perfect place to introduce himself and kind of ruin the message or ruin the communion, the fellowship? It's not the church. There are so many fake churches and churches that like Pastor was saying, right? Churches that are more focused on prosperity, because everybody wants to be prospered. Churches that are focused on worship, and worship in quotes, just singing. Their service is like about 2 hours long. And in those 2 hours, you have 1.5 hours of singing, 5 minutes of prayer, 15 minutes of preaching, and another 10 minutes of singing and closing, and that's it, the worship. And where is the word? What we learn? Oh, to encourage to be better people, right? You every Sunday you're encouraged. I'm encouraged because I need to know myself. Well, so many things that went wrong, and we deviate from sola scriptura, from the sufficiency of the scriptures. And that's why we need to go and tell, what is the scripture telling us about everything, in this case, missions? So this is the difference, as I was saying, in closing this point. Local church. The local church has the authority given by Jesus Christ, as Jesus Christ received the authority from the Father, to make disciples, to preach the gospel. Local church, autonomous local church with its elders. And for then send missionaries. Now, another question is, then what is a missionary? Could you explain to us what exactly is a missionary? We have an idea what is a missionary, but we cannot put it in words sometimes. Oh, is a person sent? Well, I'll give you a definition of what is a missionary, and this is not my words. But a missionary is an elder qualified member of a church. Elder qualified. Sent out by the authority of that local church. Hey, you in whose authority are coming to and telling us about Jesus Christ or the Word? Well, in the authority of my local church from Maranatha, Arkansas. But what is your church teaching? Well, we are a biblical church that teach and believe in the sufficiency of the scriptures. So we are not representing the whole Christianity, but in a sense, yes. We are a local church. That is the pattern, that's the design that Jesus Christ made us clear for us. So some people might think, I don't see it clearly. I need more evidence. Well, this is has been a debate for years between, I don't know how much aware are you of different churches and different organizations, right? Like Catholic Church, we talk a little bit about it, a monolithic type of church. Then you have Presbyterians, that they have a different system than Baptist churches. We have another Episcopalian that is more like Catholic Church in that way. They have archbishops and bishops system. So they answer into a kind of a pyramid of authority. Well, it's clear in Acts that several churches were started after Jerusalem. We see Antioch, Ephesus, then Smyrna. We have those churches were almost sprung out because persecution. It was impossible. The church in Jerusalem was growing so exponentially, and they started getting persecuted, and they migrated to the closest cities, and they opened churches around. So that's the way, a natural and organic way that these churches started. So that is very important to keep in mind. So why? And this is my next point. All nations. Make disciples of all nations. The word nations is ethne, where our word ethnia comes. That means nation. Think about it. The Bible never mentioned the word race. There is a different word for that, and it's not in this text. Because the Bible doesn't say, go make disciples of every race. No. There is one race. Amen. Right? Amen. Human race. From one blood, all the living creatures proceed. So we have one common father. Right? Adam. Amen. And he failed. Right? But we have a second Adam. Amen. Jesus Christ. Did he fail? No. He is perfect. He is our representative. Amen. In Adam, we are condemned. We see we are failed. We see our life is a reflection of him. Thank God for our ultimate missionary, Jesus Christ, sent by the Father, that he redeem us. In him, we have a person that can represent us before the Father and say, this is my people. Amen. This people is cleansed from the sins. I did the work completely. I live for them. So now they can be welcome in heaven. So, again, let's go back, and I hope you have a very good imagination in making these connections. God the Father sent Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ sent the apostles. The apostles established the churches. The churches sent missionaries.
Amen.
The missionaries work by the authority of the local church. The local church work by the authority of the apostles. The apostles work by the authority of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has the authority from who?
Father.
The Father. You see that? It's not like Jesus Christ made up something. Remember when Jesus said, I don't speak my own words? He said, I speak the words of my Father. Everything he did it perfectly. That's why I want you to get enamored with this Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This Jesus Christ is precious. Even in this text, you might think, oh, what I can learn about Jesus Christ in this text? Well, he has authority. Yeah, the president of the United States has authority too, right? Look what he's doing with our country. To have authority is one thing, and to be the perfect man is a totally different thing. But to have authority in and of itself is nothing compared to have authority from the Father. And it's not like we elected Jesus Christ, right? No, was appointed by God. To all nations. This is the most important thing. And I want you to stick this or put this in your mind and in your heart. The Bible don't make divisions. There is no divisions of race as we talk. But it makes emphasis on nations. You know what a nation is? A nation is very difficult to explain. But let's put it in this way. A nation is a group of people with same set of values. Like the nation, we can say the nation of United States, so to speak, if we had the same values, same goals, which is defend our country, or, right? We were talking with Pastor in the morning about things that are going on in Christians' debates these years about Christian nationalism. Well, it depends what it means, right? It's a difficult subject, and I'm not pretending to mess with it. But if it means that I'm a patriot, well, yeah, it's right. But if it means that I'm just going to select what kind of people I want to be surrounded, I don't know. If it means that I'm going to establish a different set of values, I need to think about it. What do you mean? So the problem with the word Christian nationalism is that we didn't define the term. And that's the problem. So I'm not pretending to get into that, but we are a nation now under what Peter says, right? We're a holy nation, chosen by God. So from all the nations, now we are becoming a single nation, a nation that has a different passport, so to speak. We have a heavenly passport. So, primary, make disciples. Secondary is the baptizing and teaching. So the making disciples is important. So in this church, don't forget, pastors are making disciples. And my last point, I am with you. You can make a sermon of these words. I am with you. It's not that the Lord leave us. Hey, go. Make disciples. Bye-bye. He said, I'm be with you. What other encouragement you need? Do you need something else? There is no times in your life when, and this happens sometimes in my life, when I'm so discouraged, I don't want to get up from my bed, or I don't want to do certain things or go into a certain trip. And my wife said, well, I'm with you. I'm the same page. I support you. And I feel like, okay, I feel good. I feel encouraged now. I have the strength to get up and doing it. When you are hardworking and your family depends on that. Your little ones are telling you, I need something to eat. And you see your wallet and it has holes, right? You go to work for them. You need to find a way to get some cash to eat. Maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit. Maybe some have, some people have, and some other. This example is probably more real. But where is your motivation? I'm gonna do it for them. I'm gonna do it. Well, the Lord of this world, the King of Kings, he didn't leave us alone, fatherless. He is with us. He is with us. Hey, you are not gonna need anything. I'll provide for you. Sometimes we need to reach low. We need to be low to understand this. And I'm not necessarily calling for that upon us. But we don't need to be low to recognize this Jesus, to recognize this calling, this closeness of Jesus. So one thing, in conclusion, no one thing, let's summarize a little bit. We've seen that Jesus Christ was sent by the Father. We've seen that Jesus Christ is our ultimate missionary. Missionary, a one that is sent with the authority of somebody else, the authority of God, the Father. So then Jesus Christ established or sent his apostles. The apostles established the churches. The churches sending missionaries. Now, Jesus is our example in everything. Jesus is not a God that command us something that he himself have not do. God said, in the words of Paul, the apostle, If I speak in tongues, in different angelic tongues, but I don't have love, it's not profitable. It's nothing. Then I ask you a question. Does God love in such a way? And the answer is absolutely yes. Now, if I would have the power to move mountains, but I don't have love, not profitable. If I can do miracles and even rise the dead, but I don't have love. And then Paul describes, love is what? He describes many things. And one of those descriptions is self-denial. It does not want his own things. How that is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. How that is fulfilled in God. Or God sent us to do something that he himself does not do. Well, we have the glorious Trinity. God the Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father. So this everything that Jesus does, he did it for the Father. The Father does everything through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So it is the perfect harmony. So Jesus Christ does not love himself as he loved his Father. Do you catch that? Do you see that self-denying love of Jesus Christ for his Father? That he went to the cross. He went to the cross. No, Lord, you are asking me too much. Father, you are asking me too much. I cannot give my life. No, I give it. There is another way? Is there another way? That is not my will. It's your will. And in ending here, I said, in closing, yet twice, I think. I promise this is the last thing. So what we do with the seminaries, with the missionary organizations, though, I think I didn't answer the question, right, that you asked me. Are they biblical? I think they are. But they are not primary. You see, there are many churches that they have the resources, but they are not necessarily the people. They cannot go. Ideally, it's the church that send missionaries. And that's one of the things that I really love the way that Heartcry, who you support, the way that they do missions. They don't necessarily send missionaries, which is okay. Praise God for that, to send missionaries. Anything to the lost world, right? Any way, shape, or form that we can help to send people to spread the gospel, it's good. But listen, Heartcry, go and see the area and see churches that are in difficulties, churches that barely are standing because the pastor needs to have three jobs, and on top of that, preach a sermon and take care of the church. So what Heartcry does is find those faithful pastors and give them a way of living for they to dedicate their lives to the scriptures. As we see in Acts, right? The apostle was, we cannot take care of the widows. We need to be devoted to the scriptures. Let's pick some deacons, the word servants, or special people that may dedicate their lives or dedicate their service to the poor, the needy, the widow, or the widows. So, in the same sense, giving this, alleviating the burden of the pastor. So, there are many ways that the Lord might guide missions. And I'm so proud of this church that you are part of those missions. As we were, as Pastor Bruce was telling us in this morning in prayer time, the resources that you spend on missions, And now, what is missions?
Well, I leave you that to Pastor Maya answer that question. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your kindness. And if anything might be confusing or difficult to understand, Lord, we confess that you are our missionary, the loving Son that has been sent by the Father. Lord, Father, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the plan written down in your scriptures for us to mimic, to replicate, and to go with the authority of Jesus. Thank you as well for your kindness of being part of this church, your kindness and being with us, Lord. Your Son promised to be with us, and we believe it. We believe it. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.